Good morning. It's March 20th, and welcome to Doing Life, daily devotions for finding peace in stressful times. This is the audio version of the book by the same name. Today's topic is Abundant Life. Focus on a good life, not on a good living. Mary and David Compton. There is no question this advice rings a little more true in some societies than in others. Perhaps a gross generality might be that it applies more in the West than in the East, although even that is now changing rapidly. In America, we learn, without even being taught specifically, that this is the land of opportunity, and so it is. But there is a subliminal message in all of our media, whether it be televised, social media, radio, magazines, and newspapers, even billboards, that your happiness will be enhanced if you will just buy blank. Feel free to fill in the product. The obvious prerequisite is that you have the wherewithal to purchase the said item. The average American is taught from an early age that excelling in secondary school will lead to university, and that excelling in university will lead to a job. And then excelling at that job will lead to an even better job, meaning one where you can make even more money. The problem comes when people start to actually believe the advertising intrinsic to a capitalist system. They start to think their satisfaction in life, their fundamental happiness and peace, will be enhanced the more stuff they acquire. Not only does it turn out that this simply isn't true, there's some pretty good evidence that it is antithetical, meaning sometimes the opposite might be true. If we use suicide rates as a marker, there is overwhelming data that poverty, joblessness, divorce, depression, and other mental illness do increase the suicide rate. But interestingly, once the income rises just above the poverty level, to the point where all basic needs are met in terms of food, housing, and employment, further increases in wealth have no effect on suicide rate. In other words, greater wealth doesn't bring greater happiness. Also interesting, the suicide rate in the abject poor is low and constant, if everyone around you is poor. Similarly, of two individuals with exactly the same income, one living in a wealthy neighborhood and the other in a less wealthy neighborhood, the one with the richer neighbors is much more likely to commit suicide. J. Sanborn, Time, 11, 2012. What does all this mean? It means that not only does money not necessarily make you happier, but that comparing your income to others is what leads to discouragement, depression, and suicide. Keeping up with the Joneses turns out to be a really bad idea. When we went through the slums of Mumbai several years ago, there was a vibrant, lively sense of life there, despite their lack of what we in the West would consider basic necessities. The family unit was strong, faith was strong, but expendable cash was non-existent, and everyone worked just outside the slums for subsistence wages. The WHO found that the suicide rate in very high-income countries was almost exactly the same as that in the poorest of countries. Also, the suicide rate was highest in Western Europe and North America and lowest in the Eastern Mediterranean and Africa, WHO, April 2018. Christ said there would be poor always and that we were free to help them whenever we want, Mark 14, 7. But he also said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, John 10:10. So what is the life more abundant? The context of Christ's teaching had nothing to do with money. He was comparing the hypocritical Jewish hierarchy with thieves and robbers who cared nothing for the good of the people, but only for their own power and wealth. He then says the thief comes in the night to kill and destroy, further comparing false teachers to the wild animals that attacked flocks in the night. But they need not fear, for he would guard them and even give up his life for theirs. Jesus canceled our sinners' debt on the cross, forgiving us in one final act of perfect sacrifice. We who accept the gift of grace are then clothed in his righteousness, and thus are welcome in the very presence of God the Father. It is this gift of the gospel that grants us a more abundant life. The Greek word in Scripture is perissos. It means overflowing, plentiful, more than sufficient, and beyond measure. What Christ purchased for us is a life with no guilt and no shame. If we just believe what he promises, it is also a life without fear, without isolation, filled with brothers and sisters, a life in community. The greatest commandment was simple: love God, love each other. While we have God-given abilities to use, God is more interested in our availability than our ability. Living the abundant life means being available to serve others, which the indwelling Holy Spirit will lead us to do at every opportunity. This is a formula for biblical joy. An abundant life doesn't mean happy all the time, but it does mean a life that is fulfilling. So there is an easy way to get rich quick. Count your blessings. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Luke 16:13. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:19-21. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We confess that we take our eyes off the prize when we are distracted by the power of money. Remind us daily of the widow whose 2 pennies in the offering, which were worth more to you than all the gold and silver piled high. It's the servant's heart that you value, and you have enabled all of us to have just that, if we remember just how abundant our life becomes when we focus it on your Son. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow.